Chapter 1. Skyla. Think of it as an adventure, Skyla. Mom's voice carries that forced brightness she uses when she's trying to convince herself as much as me. Her reflection grins at me from the rearview mirror, her hair catching the late afternoon light streaming through the windshield. I manage what I hope passes for a smile, though inside I'm cursing her and this entire ridiculous situation. Who, in their right mind, decides to pack up their entire life and move to some remote ski resort in the middle of nowhere? My mother, that's who. And of course, Nana and I must go along with her latest impulsive decision because that's what we do in the Bishop family. We follow Mom's whims and hope for the best. The three generations of Bishop women have been living together in our century-old cottage in Florida for as long as I can remember. It's always been just us. And honestly, I prefer it that way. There's this rumor that the women in our family scare their men away. Mom doesn't know who her father is, and I've never met mine. Some people call it a curse, but I call it a blessing. Men just complicate things, and we've been doing just fine without them. But then Mom had her last heartbreak. Some guy named Bradley, who turned out to be married. And suddenly, she's decided we need a change of scenery. So here we are, driving through the mountains toward Hemlock Hollow, leaving behind everything familiar for God knows what. It's just a few months away from your friends, Nana chimes in from the passenger seat, her weathered hands folded in her lap. It's not that long in the scheme of things, sweetheart. I lean forward between the seats, catching a whiff of Nana's signature lavender and sage scent. Isn't Dark Lake Resort where that guy went missing in the forest recently? They still haven't found him, right? The silence that follows is deafening. I watch Mom's shoulders tense, her knuckles whitening as she grips the steering wheel tighter. Nana shifts uncomfortably, and I can practically hear the wheels turning in both their heads as they search for the right words. Let's not concentrate on that, Skyla Bishop. Mom's voice has that edge to it that means the conversation is over. She cranks up the volume on the radio, some local station playing country music that makes my teeth ache. I glare at the back of her head, watching the way her auburn hair, the same shade as mine and Nana's, shimmers in the fading light. With a dramatic sigh that I hope conveys exactly how I feel about this entire situation, I shove my headphones over my ears and sink back into the worn leather seat. The car glides through the usually evergreen mountains, now decorated in leaves of every orange color you can imagine. And I watch the world outside transform from the familiar palm trees and sandy beaches of home to something that looks like it belongs in a Halloween movie. The forest grows more dense with each mile, towering pines and firs creating a canopy so thick it blocks out most of the sky. I already miss the warmth of Florida sunshine on my skin, the way it made my tan glow golden and kept the perpetual peachy flush in my cheeks. Here, everything feels unwelcoming, like the trees themselves are watching us with ancient, knowing eyes. We pull into what must be the most depressing gas station I've ever seen. The signs are faded and peeling. The gas pumps appear to have been unchanged since the 80s, and the whole place has an abandoned end-of-the-world vibe that makes my skin crawl. The forest presses in on all sides, creating this claustrophobic feeling that makes me want to hyperventilate. I'm not filling up, I announce, already scrambling out of the car before Mom can assign me pump duty. The cold air hits me like a physical slap, stealing my breath and immediately turning my cheeks pink. I rush toward the shop, my sneakers crunching on gravel that's probably older than I am. The bell above the door lets out a rusty chime that sounds like something from a haunted house as I push inside. The warmth is a relief, but the atmosphere inside isn't much better than outside. Fluorescent lights flicker overhead, casting everything in a sickly yellow glow. And the shelves are stocked with the kind of random merchandise you find only in places where civilization is more of a suggestion than a reality. Behind the counter stands a middle-aged man with salt and pepper hair and eyes that seem to take in everything at once. I feel his gaze following me as I make my way toward the back of the store, my skin prickling with awareness.